If you will, stand with me and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 8, verses 1 through 10. If you have it, say amen. All right. It reads as follows. I'm reading from the NIV version, and it reads, 7 days passed as the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say unto him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go, so that they may worship me. And if you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs, and they will come up to your palace. They will come up to your bedroom and into your bed and into your houses of your officials and of your people. And into the ovens and to the kneading troughs, the frogs will go up. And you and your people and all of your officials. Then the Lord said unto Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out his hand with the staff over the streams and the canals and the ponds and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. And so Aaron stretched out his hands over the water, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same thing with their secret arts. So they made frogs come up from the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh summoned Moses and said unto him, pray to the Lord to take away from me and my people, and I will let your people go. And Moses said to Pharaoh, I leave you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials to take away the frogs from your house and be rid of all the frogs except for those that remain in the Nile. And Pharaoh said something strange. He said, tomorrow. I want to preach from the thought this morning. One more night with the frogs. One more night with the frogs. This isn't the first plague that Pharaoh faced. And if we go back to chapter 7, we'll find that first plague where the Lord turned the Nile into a river of blood. I find this story peculiar. Peculiar because in this story, we find God offering mercy. And the party needing mercy says something strange given all the circumstances. He says, give me mercy tomorrow. Give me salvation tomorrow. In other words, give me one more night with these frogs. It's peculiar because when I'm in distress, when something's bothering me, when the weight of the world seems to be falling heavily on me, I don't want relief tomorrow. I want relief right now. These are strange words coming from a man who just 7 days earlier saw the Nile, Egypt's blood, turn into blood. You see, previously, Pharaoh just didn't care. He just shrugged his shoulders and he went on home. Pharaoh had the privilege of retreating to his palace, ignoring the plight of his people who dug wells only to find they were filled with blood too. But this time, Moses makes it extremely clear. He said, the frogs shall come upon thee and thy people and thy servants and thy officials. The frogs this time, Pharaoh, you got no hiding place. This time, God will enter your private space, even your secret quarters. This problem would not just be the land's. It would be yours too, Pharaoh. It's one thing when somebody else is hurting. But it's something totally different when it's you that's hurting. Think about it. Frogs everywhere. In your kitchen. Frogs in the cupboard. Frogs in the bedroom. Frogs in your bed. Frogs even on your throne. Everywhere he stepped was followed by the sound of crunching frogs. Then there was this croaking sound. Here croak. There croak. Everywhere was the sound of croaking. Then there was this stench. The stench of dying and decaying frogs to which there was no escape. This stench filled the whole nation. It wasn't just the palace. It filled all of Egypt. And only when Pharaoh sees that there's no way out, he calls on Moses. You know, sooner or later, every knee shall bow. Sooner or later, everybody's going to call on God. Sooner or later, everybody's going to call on God or God's man. Just hang around. Your time is coming. And when he says, and he says to Moses, entreat me. Entreat the Lord on my behalf. In other words, he says, pray for me, Moses. Pray that he takes away these frogs from me. Now, the first noteworthy point that I want to make here is that God never punishes us without giving us a warning first. God says through Moses, let my people go. He says, give them freedom. And if thou refuse to let my people go, I will smite thy borders with frogs. God never punishes us without first giving us warning. God does not punish men and women unless they've ignored a persistent warning and persist in their sinning. Psalms 7 and 12 says, if he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword and he will bend his bow and make it ready. Implying that if you do turn back to God, if you turn back to God, there's hope for you. Second Chronicles makes it even clearer. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sins. But not only that, I will heal their land. Grace and mercy are always options for God. But judgment's still on the table all the time. One of Pharaoh's problems is that he thought himself to be a god too. After all, he ruled over Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth at the time. So when Pharaoh speaks, the whole nation pays attention. But Pharaoh doesn't realize that he's out of his league. He didn't understand that when God speaks, the whole universe pays attention. Pharaoh built pyramids on the backs of slave labor. But God spoke and the mountains came up out of nothing. Pharaoh commands a vast army, but God commands all of nature. You see, God could have called a squadron of angels. He could have called a pride of lions. He could have drafted the bears into this war. He could have used his wolves. He could have used his air force. He could have called on the eagles, the hawks, or even that ugly vulture. He could have chose the mighty elephant to tear down Pharaoh's playhouse. But instead, he used the lowly frogs of the Nile River. You see, at God's disposal, it's not just the frogs of the Nile, but it's frogs of every creek and every waterway, every stream God commands. You see, the Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God can use anything he wishes to accomplish his goal. So he speaks to a group of angry frogs and he turns them into a mighty army. Note, God again never uses more might than necessary to accomplish his goal. He's just good that way. He's just merciful that way. He loves you enough to limit what he can do to you. Our God loves us. The second observation that I saw as I read this one, when I examined this scripture, is that you can't beat God at his own game. Can you imagine it in your mind's eye? Can you see the magicians slopping through the dead and dying frogs, running up to Pharaoh and gets in front of him? And then he says, we can make frogs too. Now here's Pharaoh. He got frogs in front of him, frogs on the side, frogs behind him, frogs on his throne, frogs on his crown. Pharaoh's got frogs everywhere. And his magician says, we too can make frogs. So the magicians created frog, which only intensified this situation. The last thing Pharaoh needed was more frogs. The last thing we need in our lives is more trouble. And yet we spend one more night with these frogs. If you see, if the magicians really had real power, wonder-working power, they would have removed the frogs instead of increasing their number. Whenever we interfere with God's plan for our lives, we only make things worse, not better. We can't fix our problems, but we can place them at the feet of the Lord who can fix them. When God does something, no man can undo it. When God opens doors, no man can close them. And when God closes doors, no man can open them. And we find that things haven't changed. We continue to make plans without consulting our Lord. And instead of getting angry at us, he just laughs at us. We serve a good God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. We should be following God instead of God asking, instead of we asking God to follow us. Old Pharaoh thought himself to be Lord, but he was forced to face the Lord. Let me tell you a little secret. If God is our enemy, all of creation is at war against us. Yeah. Moses, Pharaoh cried out, "Entreat me. Pray for me, Moses. I've come to discover, I've come to the realization that I cannot compete with God. Pray for me, Moses, and I will let your people go." Our God has no equal. There's no one like him. He is both just and merciful. And like a good mother, he always listens to his children's cry. Pharaoh needed Moses to pray for him because he didn't have a personal relationship with God himself. Intercessory prayer has its place. But in order to get full-time blessings from God, you must be a full-time servant. And a servant is the highest rank you can have in heaven. And if you're wondering why things aren't quite right in your life, it's because part-time service. Only get part-time benefits. You got to know the Lord for yourself. And when you really know him, when you really trust him, you'll see his wonder-working power will fill your life. He'll take care of all the things that are really necessary for you to have a quality of life. When you know him. And before you realize it, you'll be saying, "Here I am, Lord." And before he asks the question, you'll be saying, "I'll go, Lord." That's when you really know him. That's when you really trust him. Some folks think they know the Lord. They say their prayers. They do their little duty. They pay some tithe sometimes. But when it really comes down to it, they don't really trust God. Because if you trusted him, there'd be no doubt. When you trust him, you'll move even before he asks because you'll feel his spirit upon you. You can trust the Lord. And before you realize it, you'll be saying, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Lord, I'll do your will." Then you can call on him early in the morning or even late at night. For the Lord constantly whispers in our ears, "I never sleep, nor do I slumber. I am always attentive. I'm always waiting to answer your cry. I am the Lord thy God. There's no one else beside me." Yes, yes. And you know something, there's something strange when we serve the Lord. We find ourselves thanking him in the good time. Yes, yes. And even praising him during our stormy times. Yes, yes. Because we know that just a little talk with the master, will make every thing all right. Just a little talk. And the third thing I want you to remember this morning. Today is all we have. When Moses returned, he says to Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I pray for thee? When shall I entreat for thee? And for thy servants and for thy people. To destroy these frogs from you and your house, that they may remain in the river only. And again, this strange reply. He says, tomorrow. And I can see Moses' mind just running. I can see his mind just cranking around. He says, what? What? Be it according to your word, and your word is tomorrow? What a strange response. Here's a man whose nation is being ruled by frogs. Frogs in his bed, in his shoes, in his bathroom, and he wanted gone tomorrow. Was he so fond of his uninvited guests that he wanted them to stay one more night? Did he really want one more night with the frogs? I can't imagine it. I really don't think so. I really think that he was just trying to buy time for himself. I think Moses thought that if he just holds out a little more longer, the frogs would leave on their own. Then the problem would be solved without obligating himself to God and Moses. You see, Pharaoh was one of those people who was self-reliant. He says, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. First of all, you got to have boots. Then you need straps on your boots. And if you got both boots and a strap, you ought to be thanking God anyway. But maybe he had no intentions of thanking God. Like many of us, we just want temporary relief.
Yeah, come on now.
Just enough time to develop a new strategy. Just enough time so we can catch our breath and refocus. But take note here. Until the heart is renewed by the grace of God.
Yes.
Promises made in the midst of the storms do not last. As soon as relief comes, those promises fade away. Until the state of the air changes, that which thaws in the warmth of the sun freezes again at sunset. If you want salvation, we cannot afford to wait until tomorrow. You cannot afford one more night with your frogs. Finally, saying tomorrow is just another means of procrastination. Part of the procrastinator's creed is to never to do that today, which you can put off until tomorrow. In my studies, I found something else interesting. Someone said procrastination is my sin. It brings me nothing but sorrow. And I know I should stop. In fact, I'll do it tomorrow. Don't wait till tomorrow. In other words, they're saying, just give me one more night with my frogs. These frogs that I'm so fond of. He refuses to minimize his pain and maximize his relationship with God. He reneged because he realizes that when the people go, the economy will collapse. That means construction of his mighty pyramids come to a halt. That means the agricultural industry would be ruined. But the one thing you got to remember is that God don't care about economies. God cares about his people. God says obedience is better than sacrifice. God says, come you this day, not tomorrow. You see, Pharaoh is not alone. How many of us have said at some point or another, tomorrow? The fact is, tomorrow is not promised. And all we have for sure is today. The word says now is the acceptable time. Tomorrow may never come. And who's to say that the opportunities that might exist tomorrow are any better than the ones that exist today? If we abide by what God says, we can stave off our problems of tomorrow. Far too often, we are penny wise and pound foolish. Luke 12 tells the story of a farmer who stores up enough to retire, assuming that he has many tomorrows ahead of him. It's one thing to prepare for tomorrow. But it's a whole different matter to presume that you will be here to enjoy. Time is shorter than we think. I recall a story that a new pastor just came to town and he was visiting his neighbors and he came to one house where he was invited in and he invited this couple to church. After a while, the wife agreed to come to church, and she gained salvation, and she became a member. The husband said he would come as soon as he gets straightened out. Several times, the husband was invited to church by the pastor, and each time the answer was the same. I will come when I get straightened out. The husband eventually died. And as the pastor stood to deliver the eulogy, he thought to himself, well, at least he kept his promise. He came when he got straightened out. Don't wait to get straightened out. Don't wait to get straightened out. The husband spent one too many nights with the frogs. He lost his opportunity for salvation. See, only a hardened heart will cry out tomorrow when God extends his opportunity for salvation today. Only a hardened heart ignores the need for fellowship with God. Only a hardened heart stalls its redemption in favor of one more night with the frogs. It's a sad state when the heart before prefers to tread among dead frogs than experience the glory of a living Savior. It's a sad state of the path of affairs when God literally gives up on you. You don't believe it? Read Genesis 6 and 7. And Jeremiah 8 and 20, it reminds us that the day will come when the opportunity to be obedient to God's call will be rescinded. Yeah. He says, lo, the harvest is past. He says, it's too late. Summer has ended and we are not yet saved from our sins. All too often, far too many women, men, women, boys, and girls spend one too many nights with their frogs. They just one more, they want one more night to commit adultery. One more night to get a little bit high. One more hit of that pipe. One more snort of coke. One more night before they commit to Christ. They say, just give me one more chance to dance with Satan. We want one more night with our frogs. Salvation is at hand. Don't spend your last night with the frogs. Don't spend your last night with your frogs. Salvation is at hand. Tomorrow is not promised. But you have an opportunity today to save your soul. Be wise. Take advantage of now. We don't need one more night with the frogs. God bless you and God keep you this morning.